So today, we're starting a new series, and I'm excited about this. It's called You Asked For It. So here's the idea of this series. Over the last couple months, we've invited all of you to send in questions, and a bunch of you have done this, questions about faith, questions about Jesus, questions about the Bible, and I will be honest, some of these questions are pretty challenging, so good job, you brought the heat. And what we're going to do in this series is we're going to attempt to answer some of these questions. And so I think this is going to be great, and I want to let you know, as part of this series, we're going to be running our podcast, the Beyond the Weekend podcast. And part of the reason is just some of these questions are big and they're heavy. And so it's not like we can exhaustively answer all of these questions in, you know, 30, 40 minutes. And so we're going to dig in a little further in the podcast. And those episodes will hit on Wednesdays, and there will be one this week following up after this message. So let's get into this. I want to start with a story, and really to get there, I got to show you this picture. Okay, so beach volleyball. So that's me on the left. I beach volleyball was like my sport, and in this picture, it might look like I'm getting blocked, but I'm sure that I came out on top of this picture. Probably not. And the guy who's well, it's called Roof. You know, that's blocking me, roofing me. He actually goes to Ada Bible Church, and so I can't lie. I think he blocked me on this picture. How do you get into beach volleyball, you might be wondering? Well, for me, it started in my backyard, because my dad ordered a couple dump trucks that just poured sand all over the backyard, and we no longer had a backyard. We had a beach volleyball court, and that happened back in the 80s when I was like in late elementary school, and from that point on, if it was summer, I was playing two-on-two beach volleyball in the sand. And I later in life, in college, I transitioned to indoor volleyball. I played men's volleyball in college, and it was not an easy transition for me. Because first off, beach volleyball, there's two people. Indoor volleyball, there's six. And I'm looking around, I'm like, what are you guys even doing here? Like, what do we all do? There's so many people on the court. But more than that, or worse than that, sand is soft. And I grew up just diving into the sand, and whatever you did is fine because sand is soft. Well, guess what? The hardwood of a gym, not soft. And I found that out pretty quickly. And if you're an athlete, you know sports are about reactions, right? Ball's coming at you and you just dive. And I was doing this at the beginning of my college career and absolutely wrecking myself on this gym floor. Now, if you play volleyball or played growing up, you know something. There's an art. There's a technique to diving. You slide. You roll. Well, I didn't do any of that. I crashed over and over again. And so like 2 weeks into my college volleyball career, I could barely move my arms. I mean, my elbows were so bruised. My knees were all messed up. I had a really bad habit. And what happened was my coach pulled me out. Okay, so during practice, everybody else is scrimmaging. They're actually playing volleyball. He pulls me off the court and literally makes me do these rolls over and over again outside of the court. You can just picture me. I'm on the outside of the court and I'm just rolling all the way around the court, like for hours. And it was embarrassing. I didn't like it. I wanted to be playing, but it needed to happen because my coach knew he had to break me out of these bad habits or I was never going to be successful as an indoor volleyball player. So this idea of having a bad habit and needing to break free from it, that's what we're going to talk about today. So here's the question that was submitted. Why can't I break free from sin? Why can't I get away from this destructive pattern of thinking or this destructive pattern of behaving? And it's just like, there are times when you go, I am a Christian, I am a follower of Jesus, and I just keep doing the same thing over and over again. And I just wonder, have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a space where you're just going, as much as I've tried, as much as I want to, as much as I've prayed, I just can't seem to break free? And if that's where you're at, I just want you to know, I understand what that feels like. There have been times in my life where I was just stuck in something to the point, I mean, you just start to feel so frustrated, so disappointed in yourself, and worse than that, you start to feel like God is disappointed in you. In fact, it can be so disorienting that you just kind of go, am I even really a Christian? And if that's where you're at today, I just want to say a couple things before we even try to answer this question. First off, I want to tell you, if you've put your trust in Jesus, he's not disappointed in you. Jesus moves toward you in love and in grace, even when you are messing up, even when you are sinning. Also, if you are battling right now, if you are wrestling and you are experiencing guilt over the things that you're doing, that guilt is very likely evidence that you really are a Christian. Because that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's God himself calling you away and saying, there is a better way. I have something better for you. So I just want to encourage you with those words. So today we're going to talk about breaking free from sin. And something I believe is that you can break free. You can experience freedom, not because you're awesome, not because you're disciplined, not because you have such incredible willpower, but because Jesus gave his life and was resurrected from the dead, and because of what he did and his power in you, you can experience freedom. But I need you to know something. It's going to require something from you. If you want to be free, you are going to have to be honest. You are going to have to be courageous. You are going to have to be humble, and you are going to have to take drastic action. You can't keep doing the same thing and expect to experience freedom. So here's what we're going to do today. This talk is not going to be my two best ideas for living a free life. Now, as exciting and as interesting as that talk would be, what we're going to do is open up the scriptures. We're going to take a look at God's word and ask the question, why can't I break free? And we're going to try to let the scriptures answer that question for us. And so I'm going to share with you two answers from God's word. And the reason I picked these two specific answers is because in a couple seasons in my life when I was stuck, when I was battling some kind of sin that had its grip on me, these two truths brought freedom. And I just think if it happened for me, I think it can happen for you. And so we're going to look at two answers to this question, why can't I break free? And the first is this. The reason is that you need to remain in the vine. If you want to experience freedom from whatever it is that you're battling, you need to remain in the vine. And if you're going, what does that mean? What are we talking about? Just track with me. We're gonna dig into this. So let me set this up a little bit. We're going to be spending our time at first in the Gospel of John. So this is one of the four biographies of Jesus' life. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are four biographies of Jesus' life and ministry that are written from eyewitness accounts. John was one of Jesus' disciples. He was there, and he shares with us this teaching that we're going to look at. It's part of a teaching that Jesus gave between the Last Supper and the Garden of Gethsemane. And so the reason I share that is there is an urgency to what Jesus is saying here, because this is the last night of his life, and you can just kind of picture him. It's almost like grabbing the shoulders of his disciples going, I don't have much time. You've got to get this. You've got to hear this. You've got to understand this. And part of the reason is that if you're going to live free in Jesus, you need what he's about to share. So with that context in mind, Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he's talking about vineyards. So here we go, John chapter 15. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He's using vineyard imagery. So let's just put up a picture of a vineyard so we can all get this in our minds. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Now, Jesus did not make up this idea of God's work being a vineyard. He's building on something that was taught in the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures. So in the Old Testament, there were times that God talked about his special people as his vineyard that he loved. And the big idea that God had for his people was that he was going to bless them, and then through those people that he could bless all people. And so it's like, you're my vineyard, I'm going to bless you, you're going to produce fruit, you're going to produce grapes that are going to bless not only you, but all people. So this is the idea, the vineyard that Jesus is building on. And notice, Jesus inserts himself into this idea of a vineyard. And he expands on this because he talks about himself, and then he begins to talk about his disciples, and by extension, you, if you are a follower of Jesus. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. You see, you and I, we are part of this vineyard. Jesus is the vine, you are the branches, and there's something that God desires to do in you and through you because, or through this relationship. Jesus says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. If you want to demonstrate that you're really one of my followers, you're going to bear fruit. If you want to glorify God, which is a way of saying that your life would put the spotlight on who God is and reveal to the people around you just how incredible God is. If you want to do that, Jesus says, you got to bear fruit. So let's put a picture on the screen. Just understand where we're going here. The whole idea is God's people are the vineyard. The Father is the gardener. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches, like those little small stems. And then the whole idea is to produce the fruit. Now, there's one more piece to this that we have to talk about before we bring it back around to the big question of breaking free. And the question is, what is the fruit? I mean, what is the fruit that we're supposed to be producing? And to answer that question, let's look at something that the Apostle Paul wrote to believers who were in this region called Galatia. It's a letter that we call Galatians. So this comes from chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit, so here it is. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So a couple things that we just want to talk about here. First off, the Father is the gardener. Jesus is the vine. The Spirit is the one that seems to produce the fruit in us. You see the Trinity at work in the vineyard. Secondly, what's important here is that these characteristics, they don't just come out of nowhere. They're not just random. This is the character of God. God is love. God is joy. See, what God desires to do in you is produce his character in you. He wants to replicate his character in you. Now, you look at these characteristics, and I just want you to think about something. What would happen if that was you? I mean, how would your life be different if these characteristics were true in your life? How would it impact your family? And specifically, how would it impact whatever it is that you're battling, whatever it is that has its grips on you? How would these characteristics impact that struggle? And something I just want to point out is whatever it is that you're battling, the opposite of that is in this list. I mean, think about this. The opposite of addiction, whatever that addiction might be, is self-control. The opposite of rage, maybe you just have this battle with anger, the opposite of anger and rage is gentleness. Perhaps it's pornography, and you just can't seem to get away with it. Well, the opposite of pornography, goodness, faithfulness. The opposite of anxiety is peace. See, whatever it is you're battling, the opposite is in this list of God's character. And the reason I'm telling you this is this right here. It's tempting to think, okay, I got this thing that I'm battling. It's a sin. It's a habit. I can't break free from it. And it's tempting to think that what God would say to you in that battle is just simply, stop it. Knock it off. That's bad. Stop doing it. And yes, it's destructive. It's hurting you. It's hurting the people around you. But what God wants for you is so much better than just stop. Because what he wants for you is to grow his character in you. It's not just that you would stop doing that bad thing, but that you would experience the blessing of his character. I mean, this list, if we can get that list again, isn't that who you want to be? Isn't this the person that you would love to become? You see, it's not just that God says, stop being anxious, knock it off. No, he wants you to experience the blessing of real peace. I just think it's so important for us to understand this. The heart that God has for you and how he wants to bless you through his commandments and through the freedom that he is offering in Jesus. So with all that said, it kind of leads me to a question, which is, how do you get them grapes? And that is the technical dem grapes, okay? How do you get those? I mean, how do you get this in your life? How do you experience God's character growing in you so that, first off, you can break free from whatever it is that has its talons in you, but also that you can experience the blessing of this character in your life? How do you get them grapes in your life? So let's talk about this, because Jesus makes it pretty clear. As in part of this teaching, there is a verse. I think this is one of the, well, I'll just call it one of my favorite verses, because there's so much in here that's so powerful. I think every follower of Jesus should memorize this verse. It's John 15:5. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And then he says this, apart from me, you can do nothing. How do you get those grapes? How do you experience this fruit in your life? Jesus says, listen, understand, apart from me, you cannot. You will not experience the fruit of the Spirit in your life if you are disconnected from the vine. Apart from me, it's not apart from me, you can do something. Apart from me, you can do most of it. No, apart from me, you can do nothing, nada, none. And so let's just be really clear about something. Whatever it is that you need to break free from, it's not going to happen through willpower. It's not going to happen through determination. You will not experience the freedom that you are longing for outside of Jesus. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But there's something else. I just want to widen out the conversation a bit and make this statement right here, is that you were created for life in the vineyard. You were made to live deeply connected to Jesus, deeply connected to the people of God. God's people are a vineyard. Jesus is the vine. You were made for life in the vineyard. This is what you were created for. And when Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing, I think a big statement, what he's saying here is, you will not experience the life that you long for outside of me. Real life is found in connection to Jesus. And so I think what he's saying here is, what you need to do is attach yourself to Jesus so strongly that you can fully receive everything that he has to offer. You've got to attach yourself to Jesus so that you can take in everything that he's offering you. Because apart from Jesus, Life outside the, you're not going to find what you're looking for outside of the vineyard. That's empty. Life in the vineyard is full. I think what he's saying here is like, you're not going to flourish outside of deep connection to Jesus and deep connection to God's people. In fact, you will flounder. And this is part of the reason why so many of us are stuck, because we're trying to do this apart from Jesus. Now, this verse, John 15, 5, it's so loaded. There's so much here. And there's another aspect of this that I think is so important for us. So back to that verse, and we're just going to emphasize a different part. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And then he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But key in on this, if you remain in me. He goes, you've got to remain in me. And this phrase, this idea of remaining, is so central to what Jesus is teaching here that it's all over the teaching. So look at this. Here's the full teaching, and I hope you go home and read it. John 15, like 1 through 10, I think it is. Look at how many times remain shows up. You got to remain in me, remain in me, remain in me. He repeats it, I think, 11 times over and over and over. And when you see a word or a phrase emphasized like this in the scripture, it's like, hello, this is really important, pay attention. So it's like the theme here seems to be remain in Jesus. Now here's the question. Why does Jesus need to repeat this over and over and over again? And I think the obvious answer is because we don't. Because so often we don't remain in him. You see, rather than attaching ourselves to Jesus, what we do because of the brokenness inside of us is we attach ourselves to this, that, and the other thing. We attach ourselves to things and people that we believe are going to fill us up. And isn't it true that the reason that so many of us are stuck in some destructive pattern of thinking or destructive pattern of behavior is because we've attached ourselves to status, we've attached ourselves to what people think about us, we've attached ourselves to a bank account, we've attached ourselves to likes or followers, we've attached ourselves to all kinds of things, believing that this is going to give us life, but this is life outside the vineyard. And so it's like Jesus is going, hey, stay here. Stay connected to me. This is where not only life is, the power is that is going to bring you freedom, but also this is where the love is that you're so longing for, which is why Jesus says it just straight up, remain in my love. Now, why does he say this? Okay, see if you can track with me here. You were created for life in the vineyard. In other words, you were created for deep connection with Jesus, deep connection with God's people. Now, you were created for a relationship with Jesus. You were created to receive the love of Jesus. You need that. God is infinite. And so this is something that's very real. There is sort of this infinite space within you, this infinite longing that can only be filled up by an infinite God and his infinite love. And when you go and try to attach yourself to something else, you're trying to fill an infinite void with a finite something. And it just never works, which is why so many of us are addicted to all different kinds of things. Because you were made to be filled only with an infinite love, which is why Jesus, in kindness, out of love towards us, says, remain in my love, because it's the only thing that's going to satisfy you. It's the only thing that's really going to fill you up. See, what we're doing here in this first part, talk about what you need to do is you need to remain, is we're just getting at the why. Why is it that you got involved in something that you need to break free from? It's probably because you are seeking life outside the vineyard, and life and the freedom. And really, what you are looking for is found in the vineyard. Deep connection to Jesus, deep connection to God's people. But the question becomes, okay, how do you actually live that out? And how do you actually do it? And this is now bringing us toward the second answer that we're going to look at from the scriptures to this question of why can't I break free? But I just got to warn you, this one, it is so true, and very few of us are willing to do it because it's that uncomfortable. So here we go. The second answer, the reason that you can't break free, hey, you need to walk in the light. Another way to say this is the reason that you're stuck is because you're walking in darkness. Now, to talk about this, we're going to stick with Jesus' disciple, John, but we're going to check out something that he wrote later in his life. So he wrote the biography of Jesus that we call the Gospel of John, and then later he was an important leader in the first century church, and he had a leadership role in these different churches, and he wrote letters to these people, and one of those letters is called 1 John, and it's found near the end of the New Testament, and he has some really powerful things to say about light and darkness. So check this out from chapter 1. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. And if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So John, he's kind of presenting two different ways to live your life. You can walk in the light or you can walk in the darkness. Now, God is light, and so you want to walk in the light, because God, I mean, he's light, he is love, he is joy, he is peace. This is what we want to experience, so we want to be in the light with God. But there's just one, well, really big problem with this, and that is most of us are unwilling to actually walk in the light. We much prefer the darkness. And why is that? Right here. Because light exposes and darkness hides. If you are actually going to walk in the light, which is how you remain in Jesus, you're going to have to be honest. You're going to have to be transparent. And you're going to have to be willing to have yourself exposed. And most of us just don't want to do it. We prefer to hide. There are aspects of ourself, maybe our past, maybe something that we have going on that we just don't want people to know about. And so we hide. We keep it in the shadows. We much prefer that at least part of ourselves remains secret. And so we don't walk in the light. But this question, why can't I break free? I'm telling you, and I need you to hear this, because you're walking in darkness. So if you want to experience the freedom, you're going to have to step out into the light and allow yourself to be exposed. And in order to do this, you're going to have to be honest with three people. So here we go. You're going to have to be honest with three people. The first person you got to be honest with is yourself. You're going to have to be honest with you. Listen to the words of John. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I want to walk in the light. I want to remain in Jesus. I want to be free. Okay, that is awesome. You've got to be honest with yourself. You've got to stop deceiving yourself. You have to be willing to admit what's really going on and say, yeah, I am angry with her. I've got to be honest, I am bitter with him. Yes, I have a drinking problem. Yes, I have a pornography addiction. Whatever it is, yes, I am struggling. I am depressed. Whatever it is, unless you are willing to actually be honest with yourself, you cannot be free. It's not going to happen. And we are so good at rationalizing and saying, I can manage it. I can control it. it's okay as long as nobody finds out. And I'm just telling you, that's not walking in the light. You're not going to experience the freedom that God wants for you unless you're honest with yourself. So that's the first person you got to be honest with. Second person, by the way, they just keep getting harder, just to warn you. Second person you got to be honest with is honest with God. So here we go. Words of John once again. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. Fellowship with God, walking in the light with God, requires being honest with God. And I just know that for many of us, this is really hard. Because either because of what was in your past or what's going on in your life right now, you just feel this profound sense of shame. It's like, I can't be honest with God. Because if he really knew me, he wouldn't love me. Now, I just need to say something to you. I need you to remember this. Jesus gave his life on that cross with full knowledge of who you are. He knows who you are. He knows all about your past. He knows about every single mistake, failure, addiction. He knows all of it. He has full awareness. Jesus knows you better than you know you. And he still died in your place. He took all that sin and he took it on himself and he did it intentionally. He wanted to and he died for you. See, he knows you. You can't lie to him. It's impossible to hide from God. And if he loves you that much, I just challenge you, be honest with him. Be real with him because he loves you. And how do you do that? Like, how do you actually be honest with God? Well, John gives us a great word in verse 9. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. My friends, that's a promise. If we confess, he will forgive and cleanse us. And so the question is, what does it mean to confess? How do you confess? Okay, very simply, confession is this. It's just to say, I agree. That's what it means to confess. I agree. Sometimes a statement of belief is a confession. You say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You are agreeing with the truth. That's a confession. But often, confession has to do with what we're struggling with our sins or whatever it is that we're battling. And really what you're doing is you're just acknowledging to God, I agree with you that that was wrong. I agree with you that that was sin. That's what confession is. It's like this. God, I agree with you. I confess to you that that thought that I had when I saw her, that was wrong. That's confession. God, what I said last night in response to that comment, I acknowledge, I admit, I confess, that was wrong. God, what I did in that situation, I admit to you, I acknowledge, I confess, that was sin. See, that's what it means to confess. And when you do this, when you are honest with God, you're stepping out into the light and you're walking with him. Now, you might just be going like, I don't understand why this is so important. I don't understand why this can be so supposedly powerful in breaking free from sin. Okay, follow this line of thinking. Every bad habit starts with one choice. Every addiction started with one choice. Every affair started with one thought. And what happens is we don't acknowledge the thought, we don't acknowledge the thing that we did, and we bury it, it goes underground, and it becomes powerful, stronger, and pretty soon it has its grips on us, and we're just going, how do I get away from this thing? How do I break free? But there is a way to short-circuit the entire process, and that way is confession. That when you have the thought for that man, for that woman that is not your spouse, and to just come before God and just go, God, I just had that thought, and I just acknowledge before you that that was wrong. It sucks the life out of that sin. It takes the power away. You can short circuit the whole thing through confession, and that's why it's so powerful. And I just want to encourage you, some of us need for confession to become a daily practice. So we're doing this thing right now. It's called Ada Bible Academy. It's meeting on Thursday nights. There's a class going on. It's called Spiritual Practices. And our very own Ben Vaught, who is campus pastor at the Kentwood campus, he's been teaching through this. And I was talking with him last week, and one of the tools that he is teaching is called Acts Prayer. Anybody ever heard of this? So let me put it on the screen. Acts Prayer, it's just a model for prayer. You do four things. Adoration, you just tell God how amazing he is. You confess, I'll come back to that. Thanksgiving, it's like, God, thank you for how you've blessed me, the things you've given me. Supplication, weird word, simply means I need help. God, I need help with this, I need you here. But what I'm trying to get at here is, what if you made a commitment every day, I'm gonna do Acts Prayer, specifically the confession piece, and look back on the previous day and just kind of walk through your day and just go, you know what, I don't think that was right. And so, okay, God, I just acknowledge I said this and I don't think that that was right. God, you know what, later last evening I did this thing. What if this became a practice? I think this could be powerful in your life and help you break free or stay free in your life. So, in order to walk in the light, you got to be honest with three people. First, you got to be honest with yourself. Second, you got to be honest with God. Third, you got to be honest with somebody else. You got to be honest with one another. Words of John. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. See, there's something about walking in the light that is fellowship with each other. Honesty with each other. And I just want to tell you something. If you are battling a secret sin, it is too powerful to defeat alone. You are not going to be able to do it. You have to tell somebody about it. You must open up to somebody else in your life and tell them what is going on. In my experience personally, and also talking with a bunch of Christian counselors who work with people who are battling addictions and other powerful sins, it's just true. You're not going to be able to break free unless you pull somebody else in and tell them, this is what's really going on in my life. So James, the brother of Jesus, he puts it like this. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Here's my question. Do you want to be healed? And do you want to be free? Because if you do, it's going to require telling someone, a trusted friend, a trusted Jesus follower who cares about you, what's really going on. Otherwise, you're not going to break free. And don't worry, you don't need to tell everybody. You don't need to tell your whole small group. In fact, I would word it to you like this. Not everyone needs to know, but someone does. And so who is that someone in your life? Who can you talk to and just go, hey, I need help, I need prayer, I need your encouragement, I need you to keep me accountable because this is what's going on. So, how bad do you want to be free? And how tired of this cycle are you? And the question is, are you willing to do something different? Back to where we started. College volleyball. Everybody else in my team is actually playing volleyball. And my coach pulls me off the court and makes me literally roll around the court. He made me do something different because there was a bad habit I needed to break free from. And I'm just telling you, you need to do something different. And so what is that going to be? What's your action step leaving here today? I have a couple thoughts. First off, you might need a conversation today. And we're going to have a prayer team in front. here in all of our environments, and I challenge you, come forward. And you don't have to share everything, but just ask for prayer, ask for help, and we can point you in the right direction. Your campus pastor, wherever you are at, they have all kinds of connections and resources. I believe they will know how to help you. Let me put a couple emails on the screen. Men's ministry at Ada, women's ministry at Ada. The person who will see this email is a ministry leader at your campus who oversees these areas. Just reach out. This is what we do as a church. And then one last idea here is a book that I read recently. It's by John Ortberg, a pastor. It's called Steps. And it's basically a biblically based book about the 12-step program, like Alcoholics Anonymous, which really, really works. And this book, I read it, it's fantastic. And if you're just going, I am stuck, I need a way forward, order this book. It was really challenging, really encouraging. It'll give you steps to take that I believe will lead you to freedom. So let me pray for us, and I challenge you to take that next step. Do something different. Father, there's something that I want to ask for you today, and that is freedom. God, we ask for liberation. God, we believe that Jesus gave his life on the cross to defeat sin and evil and death. And God, I just bring before you brothers and sisters here today, watching today, who are stuck, who are in slavery to sin. God, would you bring them freedom? Would you give them the courage to take the steps that they need? God, we love you, we trust you, we believe in your power, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, next week, Pastor Brad Holmes, the new Bella Vista campus pastor, is going to be continuing this series with a question, where is God in my pain? So we'll see you next week.